Good morning. Today's daf and gittin pei vav. We're on pei hamad beis. We're going to be starting the last words of the amud, last line of the amud. Yumadanan. There were a number of institutions that Rava said when writing the get specifics. Right, it took 85 pages, but the gemara and gittin actually went over the nusach of the gemara and get. Not word by word nusach, but in other words, various things that need to be included in the get when writing the get. And so at the tail end of yesterday's daf, basically the second half of the second amud of yesterday's daf, the Gemara went through things that are necessary to write when writing a get. So one of the things that are necessary, according to Rava, is that you have to write Miyuma Danan from today. So the Gemara now is just going to point out that obviously Rava was being sensitive to various shitos in terms of why he specifically wanted this to be written. And so the Gemara is going to go through. This will be quick. This will be short. Miyuma Danan, lafuke mid Rabbi Yossi, da amar, zman ha-shoshtar mechiach alav. In other words, why do you have to write the Miyuma Danan? So the Gemara explains that according to Rava, that's necessary because, not like the Shita Rav Yossi. The Shita Rav Yossi, which we encounter multiple times over the course of the Masechta, is that the zman ha-shoshtar mechiach alav, that the fact that you date the get, that's going to be indicative of the get is going to be effective from the time of the date. Right? In other words, we've said this already numerous times. According to Rav Yossi, dating a document is a marker. In other words, that already indicates that it is effective from the time of dating. So that's the Shita of Rav Yossi, and the Gemara says that Rava is rejecting that position, which is why, according to Rava, you have to spell it out in the get, Miyuma Danan, from today. Meaning, without adding the words from today, I wouldn't necessarily know that it's from today. Rashi points out over here, that's a little bit strange, because what do? We paskin like Rav Yossi. Rashi on the very bottom of the the last Rashi. Miyuma Danan la'olam la'afukim de Rav Yossi da'amar, ain't tarach lichtov mi'am be'get d'shchimira. Okay, that part of Rashi I'm just going to breeze right through because that's basically what we just said. So Rashi is bothered by a simple question, which is why would I need to write Miyuma Danan in the get? And because we are rejecting the position of Rav Yossi, and meanwhile we don't reject the position of Rav Yossi. In fact, we pass on like Rav Yossi. So it's true, says Rashi. In other words, an explanation of Rava's institution. It's true that we pass on like Rav Yossi, but we want the get to be as non-controversial as possible. So therefore, yes, it's true. In other words, if you don't write Miyuma Danan, and the get is going to be dated, that's an institution. The get is going to be dated. So and we do pass on like Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says that we go from the date going forward, meaning the date is telling us when it's taking effect. All that's true, but it's controversial, meaning that's the Shita Rav Yossi. Others disagree with Rav Yossi. And so in order so that the get remain as non-controversial as possible, so let's not rely on the Shita Rav Yossi, even though that's how we paskin, and let's write out Miyuma Danan. That's Rashi's understanding of what Rav's intention is. Ula Olam. Okay, and one other point. We're back in the Gemara. We're in the last words of the Amud. So, right, in other words, the Nusach, according to Rava, is Miyuma Danan Ula Olam, from today in perpetuity. So why do we have to say in perpetuity? What is that all about? As we now on the top of Pei Vav Amanav. Lafuke midaba mine Rava mirav nachman dam rayom I atishti lamacha atishti. So the Gemara says, because what it does is it precludes ourselves from a discussion that we had just a couple days ago in the Gemara. And that is, hayom i atishti lamacha atishti. It's a funny case, all right? In other words, the get is going to be effective, so for that today, you are not going to be my wife, but tomorrow you're going to resume being my wife, right? We just did this a couple days ago. This goes back to Daf Pei Gimel, as to whether or not that is in fact going to be an effective get or not going to be an effective get. But you know what? Again, we're going to invoke the same idea. Even though Rashi makes this point, even though that the Kevin de Pascha, the Gemara's conclusion is that once you created a severance, that's it. In other words, you and the wife now have severed ties, even though it's quote unquote temporarily, even though that's how we paskin, but we want the get to be as non-controversial as possible. How does it remain non-controversial? The answer is very simple. In other words, you just simply write, so la alam. In other words, the get will be in perpetuity. Okay. Gufa shel get shichur hariya at baschorin hariya at latzmech. Okay. We're continuing now. We're on pay vav amud aleph. We're at the second line down, and now we're going over what exactly does a document look like in terms of a get shechor. Okay, so again, a big topic of discussion here in our Masechta has been get shechor. Obviously, the main topic is getting of a woman, but over here we're talking about now to emancipate your slave. So, what do you write? So we went over in the Mishnah the very basics in terms of what exactly the get shechor is going to say. Itkin Rav Yehuda b'Shar Zevini da'avde. So now, as long as in yesterday's daf we went over various nuschaos that were written in a get of a woman, so now the Gemara is going to go over a nusach in terms of the get shechor. Okay, as I already pointed out, in other words, of avdus continued well into the tkufa of the Amoraim, and perhaps probably even longer than that, later than that. But certainly in the period of the Amoraim, as Rav Yehuda now is telling us with specifics exactly what is going to be written into the get shechor. And he tells us, so Bishar Zvini Da'avde. So actually, the truth of the matter is that this is really on the sale of an Eved Kenani, right? So when one is selling to another, so this is what you have to write. And that is Avdan Mutztak La'avdo. So the so this Eved is Mutztak La'avdo. It's an interesting terminology. So so in other words, he is mine. In other words, he is solely mine. And there's not going to be any challengers on him. No one else is going to have a claim to him. So nobody has a lien on him. Not the king. Nobody has any kind of liens on him. He does not have the signet of any other person. It seems to be another way of just simply expressing that nobody else has any claims to him. So, and also he's blemish free. So the, right, in other words, he doesn't have any kind of old blemishes on him. In other words, he's not only is he financially free and clear, but also physically free and clear. In other words, he's good. So this is what you have to write into the sale of an Eved. Obviously, you write this when he, in fact, is physically and financially free and clear. In other words, if he's not physically and financially free and clear, so my best guess would be that you don't write this. But in other words, he's just telling us what the nusach is going to look like when, in fact, the sale is a good sale. It's a clean sale of your Eved Kenani, and so we went over it. So Maya Asfasa. So the Gemara pointed out that one of the things that you say is that he does not have shchin, right? In other words, in the nusach we just went over, umenuka mikol mum umin shchin. So he doesn't have shchin. Now, what happens if you do have shchin? So you cure it, you treat it. So over here, the Gemara, just for a moment, is going to go back to what we learned back in the seventh parak. Remember the good old days? So in the seventh parak of the Masechta, so we went over 3 days of treatments, various treatments for various ailments. So my asvase. So over here, I'm going to read it quickly. Amar Abaye. So Abaye teaches us, gin bara umartika v'chavrita v'chala d'chamra u'mishcha d'zesa v'nat b'kchivara. Okay, you'll forgive me, please. I'm not gonna break my teeth over exactly what each one of these items are. But you take all these ingredients together, right? Various minerals, and oil, and specifically olive oil. Anyway, so you're gonna take all these things together. You're gonna make a compound of this, and then you're going to rub it. So, and when rubbing it, also use the wing, use a feather of a bird when rubbing it in. Anyway, that is how you cure shchin. Good. We don't know what shchin is. We certainly don't know how to cure it. But the Bizman HaGemara, obviously, this was helpful information. Bizmanenu, it doesn't help us. Okay. Shosha Gittin Psulim. Imnisis Avlad Kasher. So here we are now on Pei Vav and Aleph. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going over a Mishnah and its interpretation. This Mishnah over here, we've cited already numerous times earlier in the Masechta. But here we are, as we are now trailing and ending the Masechta. Right, not today. We still have almost a week to go before we finish the Masechta. But here we're going to go over gittin that are non-ideal. Right, these are less than ideal gittin, but as we're going to learn together, in other words, they are when push comes to shove, they are in fact going to be a get. Vidi eved, post facto, the get in fact is going to be a good get. However, these are non-ideal gittin. The Mishnah over here is going to give us three examples. So shosha gittin psulim im nisus avlad kasher. However. So these gittin are going to be puzzle. The word puzzle over here is not to be understood in its most literal sense, that they are disqualified. That is a strong word. And although the Mishnah elects to use a strong word, that's not what we really mean. Psul over here just simply means it's not ideal. How do I know that? Because of the next words of the Mishnah. Im nises havlad kasher. Because if now she goes ahead and uses this to get remarried, and she has children, the children are going to be ksherim, they're not going to be mamzerim. Okay. It goes without saying, but let's say it. If the get was really, in fact, possible, if it was really a disqualified document, if it was a disqualified get, so then she remarries, that's not remarriage. In other words, she never severed her original marriage. So now when she's with another man, having children with another man, those children are, in fact, going to be mamzerim. Oh. So the only way you're going to have to say our mission, you have to say our mission this way, is that the word psul over here is not to be understood in the most literal sense. Psul just simply means it's not ideal. So what are the three examples of getting that are not ideal? So ksav iksav yado, ein alav edim. So what happens is that the get is handwritten. However, no one is signing on the document. Hold that first case of the Mishnah. We're going to come back to that momentarily. That's number one. Number two, yesh alav edim ve'im bozman. Witnesses are signing on the get, but there is no date. Nobody wrote a date in the document. Writing a date in the document is a rabbinic institution that takes us all the way back to Daf Yud Zayin. So there is a requirement rabbinically to go and date the document. But nevertheless, if the date is absent of the document, it is not going to be a disqualified get. And finally, case number three, yesh bo zman, ve'ein bo ela'id achad. It's dated, but there's only one witness signing on it. So hare elu shlosha gitin psulin, ve'imnises havlad kasher. So again, it's possible, but if she remarries, the children are going to be ksherim. Again, the word pasul over here just simply means it's not an ideal get. L'chatchila, she should not be getting remarried based on this one get. So there are three cases over here now. In a moment in the Mishnah, we're going to see the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. But before doing so, well, you know what? No, I take it back. Let me read the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer right now. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa pi she'ein alav edim, ela she'nasna la bifnei edim, kasher, v'govim minachasim mishubadim, she'ina edim chos malaget ela mimli tikkun ha'olam. So even if there are no witnesses, according to Rabbi Lazar. Now, in our Mishnah, we have the words Rabbi Eliezer, but really should be edited, amended. It should be Rabbi Elazar. You'll see why I say that in just a moment. So according to Rabbi Lazar, even if there are no witnesses signing on it, and it was nasan la b'fnei, as long as it was given in front of two witnesses, so the get is going to be kosher. Even lichatchila, ideally it's going to be a good get, and government nechas meshubadim, and now the woman can go ahead and collect her ksuva. And not only collect her ksuva, but even from properties that were already sold. In other words, she has a lien on all of her husband's properties. And that ksuva now allows her to exercise that lien. And this get is going to be 100% valid get. And the only reason why witnesses are signing on the get is because of tikkun olam. Okay, so in the second half of the Mishnah, so it's really easy to explain. So let's explain it. The second half of the Mishnah is the Shita of Rebbe Lazar. The Shita of Rebbe Lazar that we've come to know over the course of the Masechta. Remember, we had a fundamental machlokus, whether or not Eide Misirikarte or Eide Chasimikarte. What exactly is effecting the divorce between husband and wife? According to Rabbi Meir, it's Eide Chasimikarte. It's the witness signing there. That is what is charging the get with its power. That is what is creating severance between husband and wife. According to Rabbi Lazar, Eide Misirikarte. According to Rabbi Lazar, it is the witnesses who see you give the get over to her. Meaning, according to Rabbi Lazar, I don't need witnesses signing on the get. In fact, that's not what is creating the divorce. What's creating the divorce is the witnesses who see you hand it over. According to Rabbi Lazar, I don't even need witnesses signing on the get. We are going to get a pair of witnesses to sign the get, but that's Mishum Tikkun Olam. That's just a rabbinic institution just in case. Right? In case of emergency. What's the emergency? So as Rashi over here points out, the emergency would be is that the get is challenged and I'm looking for witnesses and currently right now I can't find the witnesses who saw the transfer of the get, but I have two witnesses who signed on the get. So those signatures can be used in case of emergency. But that's it. In other words, mimnei tikkun ha'olam. But really, fundamentally, I don't need signatures on the get. That is the shita of Rebbe Lazar. Okay. Now, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah introduced us to the Tanakhama and then the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, so what do we now know? Okay, so now we can go back to the first three cases of the Mishnah, and we know that they are going according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Has to, right? In other words, just by simple contrast. I have the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, and then I have Rabbi Lazar. So, and I know the Bar Pluk of Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Meir. So this is pretty easy to figure out, And that is that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is, in fact, Rabbi Meir. Now that we've concluded that way, now what we have to do is we have to revisit the cases of the Mishnah and the three cases of the non-ideal get, and we got to figure it out. Meaning, what's case number one? Right, this one's hard. Right, of the non-ideal getting. So kasa b'ksav yado ve'ein alav edim. So it was written b'ksav yado. It was handwritten, but nobody signed on it. Now, if I were Rebbe Elazar, that'd be okay. No one signed on it. No one needs to sign it as long as I have edim mesira. But again, the Tanakhama is Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is of the position that you need witnesses signing on the document. We have now, it's a real difficulty. How do you understand the first case of the Mishnah? Look at Rashi. Right. All I did, by the way, is just set ourselves up for Rashi. Because once you see the Mishnah clearly, you obviously need Rashi over here. Rashi writes the following. Rashi writes, you can find the Rashi right in the middle of the Amud. It's the first Rashi in the Mishnah. In Nisus of Lakasher, Haitana Lavka Rebbe Meir Svirle Damra Edechasi Makarti Dura Meir Avlad Mamzer. Okay. So first Rashi says that maybe what we're going to have to say is that our Mishnah is not following the sheet of Rebbe Meir. Now that is going to be difficult because, again, go back to what I said just moments earlier. Look at the two halves of the Mishnah. The first half is the Tanakhama, the second half is Rebbe Elazar, who argues with Rebbe Elazar, it's Rebbe Meir. So it's really difficult. But, in other words, Rashi kind of is painted into that corner by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah is writing that the child that she when she remarries using this get, the child is not going to be a mamzer. According to Rebbe Meir, of course the child's going to be a mamzer. Meaning, according to Rebbe Meir, you're missing the most critical element of the get, and that's going to be the two signatures on the bottom. Okay. So one way to just simply say the first opinion of the Mishnah is that it's not going like Rebbe Meir. That's one way to say it. However, uleman demukla begemarka Rebbe Meir, but there are going to be later Amoraim who are of the position that it is in fact going like Rebbe Meir. So ikal amemer de ksav yado kemei edem dami. So here's what we're going to say. We're going to say that ksav yado is kemei edem dami, meaning that who actually wrote the get? The husband. And the writing of the get is tantamount to 100 witnesses. V'lavka Rebbe Elazar sfirlei, dama edem mesira karta da pali Rebbe Elazar b'seifa. Now, it's not going like Rebbe Elazar because that comes up in the second half of the Mishnah. Elakevim de ksav yado v'kasav v'nasan karina bei. So, in other words, it's ksav yado, it's the husband himself wrote it, and kasav v'nasan karina bei, meaning what are the instructions of the Torah? You write, you give. V'afagav delekei demisira kasher medaraisa. So, but min ha-Torah, it's going to be good. Why? Because once a husband writes it, so the husband writing it is going to be tantamount to witnesses. U'miyu rabbana pasina dil ma'asi lachshur b'ksav sofer. However, in other words, okay, and I understand, by the way, this is a lot of information that's being provided in a short amount of time. So according to Rebbe Meir, who says that Edi Chasi Mekarte, but now we've come to learn together that there is a substitute. And in other words, even though what provides the get, its force is going to be the witnesses on the bottom, but if the husband himself writes the get, that is Ki'ilu, you have the witnesses, right? The husband's handwriting itself, it's Kimea Edim Dami. I only need two. I know Rashi over here is just simply making the point as strongly as possible. In other words, the husband writing the get, it's tantamount to witnesses. Good. So why is it non-ideal? Meaning if the husband himself is writing the get and his writing is like Edim, so then let's have it all the time. Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Because people are going to not understand the subtleties and the nuances. Meaning the husband's writing the get, oh, that's good. Okay, fine. So what's the difference if the husband writes it or the sofer writes it? Well, I don't see the difference. Exactly. So Dilma Asa Lakshur Biksaf Sofer, Hilka Chlosi Nase, Vinisitz Avlad Kasher. So because of this confusion that people will have, what's the difference between the husband writing the get or having the sofer write the get? Because of that, so the Chachamim said, it's not ideal. Because people are going to get confused. But if she goes ahead and uses this get to get remarried, and she has children, the children are not going to be a mamzerim. Good. V'dafka ksav yadav ksav sofer ve'ein sham eid havlad mamzer. Okay, good. But meanwhile, of course, if the sofer writes it, once the sofer writes it, and I'm going like the sheet of Rebbe Meir, so then, of course, I need two kosher eidim to sign on the bottom. Okay. So far, so good. So what we have done, right, it took a minute, is that I explained the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah, assuming it's going like Rebbe Meir, I know Rashi at the beginning entertains for a moment it's not going like Rebbe Meir, but let's assume it's going like Rebbe Meir. So how does it work? Rebbe Meir holds a dechasi mekarte. I have the husband writing the get. I have no signatures on the bottom, yet the get works b'di'eved. So how does all that work? So we just went through the Rashi together. Rashi went step by step in terms of how it works and why it's not ideal. Okay? Good. Now we go to the second case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah does not need much in terms of explanation. Second case of the Mishnah, it's not ideal. Why? Because there's no date on it. Yeah. Because the rabbis instructed that we should be dating our documents. And you go back to the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin. Rashi over here cites it. The Gemara over there gave two different reasons. Interesting, Rashi over here only gives one of the two reasons. But anyway, there are two reasons why it is that gittin need to be dated. And as a result of that, so you fail to do so. So you have now failed on a rabbinic requirement. However, b'di'eved, post facto, if she uses this divorce to get remarried, so the her remarriage is good. The children are not going to be mamzera. Okay, that one's much easier. And now we get to the third case of the Mishnah. So the third case of the Mishnah, the non-ideal get, is going to be where you had one witness signing on it. That's tricky. Look at the Rashi over here. Again, I go back to Rashi. So one way to interpret the third case of the Mishnah, the non-ideal get, who wrote the get? The husband wrote the get. Now, if you've been following well today, so we know that the husband writing the get, that's tantamount to witnesses. Okay. And now, if Rabbi Meir were here, what would he tell you? He would tell you that you should have witnesses signing it. The husband wrote it, and the husband's writing is Kimeya Edim. I know. But still, you should have witness signing it anyway, because, again, people are going to get confused when the husband writes it versus the sofer writing it. So then what's the third case of the Mishnah coming to teach me? That if I'm Rabbi Meir, and I have the husband writing the get, and his writing is tantamount to witnesses, I need two witnesses. Ideally, I need two witnesses. I got one witness, and that's still not ideal. That's still not lechatchila. That's one way to interpret our Mishnah. Okay, and then all you're going to do now is just simply shuffle back between the first and third cases, meaning what's the third case coming to teach me? The only way it's ideal is if I have two witnesses. What's the first case coming to teach me? Even if I have zero witnesses, the child is still not going to be a mamzer. Right. In other words, the first and third cases are telling me, when does it become ideal? And when does the get still going to be good? If the husband writes the get, so it's going to be good even with zero witnesses. That's the first case. But it's not ideal. And what's the third case coming to tell me? The third case is coming to tell me that even if I have one witness signing on it, it's still not ideal. It's still not lechatchila. Good. That is one way to interpret the first and third cases of the Mishnah. Another way, an alternative way to understand our Mishnah, is that there is not one witness, but there are two witnesses. Who's the second witness? The answer is going to be the sofer. Meaning in case number three, who wrote the get? The sofer wrote the get. And it's going like, Reb Meir, how many witnesses do I need? I need two.
Is he considered a witness without signing it?
No. He's going to have to sign it. But what
so
we're
looking... There are two signatures there.
Perfect.
So why don't we say why don't we say there are two witnesses there?
Excellent question. We do say that. In other words, why is it not ideal? Right? That's effectively what you're asking.
No, but they're acting as though there's only one witness, but there are two signatures.
Correct. Correct. In other words, this is now going to be a second interpretation of our Mishnah, yeah, that there are two witnesses over there. One of those witnesses happened to be the sofer. What's the problem with that? Why is that not ideal? Hold that question. That's an excellent question. Hold it. Okay. That's a lot. In other words, I have to admit. In other words, just to navigate through the Mishnah over here, three non-ideal cases of Gittin, and understanding that the first the three cases are going according to the Shita Rav Meir, and how to understand all three of those cases. So it does take a lot of work, I admit. And we just did it. We just went through it. Okay. Visuleika, the Gemara now wants to know that if you're giving me a list, so is this list comprehensive? Doesn't seem to be. Obviously, we started with the Gemara immediately after the Mishnah. So Visuleika, there are no other cases. Vayika, get Yashin. What about a get Yashin? After the writing of the get, the husband and wife seclude themselves with one another. So that's another example of a non-ideal get. Hasam lo seitze, hacha teitze. So the Gemara says, over there, so when with a get yashan, it's not ideal, but lo seitze. If she uses it to remarry, she doesn't have to divorce her second husband. Over here, she does have to divorce her second husband. So the Gemara says, hanich laman damar hacha teitze. Alamanda Amar lo teitze Michael Amemar. So the Gemara says, whoa, you just assumed. You assumed that over here in our Mishnah on Peivav, in all three cases, if she uses this non-ideal get to get remarried, she has to divorce. That's a controversial point. Not everyone says that she has to divorce her second husband. Some are of the position she can stay with her second husband. So Hasam Tinasi Lechatchila Hacha Dieben. So the Gemara says, still, there's going to be a difference. So the... over there, in the case of the get yashan, she could use it lechatchila. She could use it ideally. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand. She could use it ideally, meaning a get yashan. We thought that the get is disqualified. The get's no good. So now what we're saying is that it's not the get itself is definitely no longer in its premium state. It's not a lechatchila. It's certainly not ideal anymore. However, if let's say there is simply no avenue for her to obtain a second get, she can use it even lechatchila. Over here, in our cases of non-ideal getin, they're really not ideal. Meaning what we're going to say to her is, go back and get a better one. So vahayika get kereach, the Gemara says, okay, but again, we're going over non-ideal getin, and our Mishnah gave us the list of three. So the Gemara wants to know, well, how about get kereach, right? We just went over this together. So that's a get of a kohen where you're folding the get and you're signing on the folds and now what's happening is that we have one less signature than we have folds and that's what's called a bold get kereach. So over there that's certainly not ideal. Hasam. So the Gemara says over there Vlad Mamzer Hacha Avlad Kasher. So the Gemara says yeah, but over there if she goes ahead and remarries with such a get. So that marriage is not considered at all a marriage. And the children are going to be a mamzer. And the Gemara says, but that's not the case over here. So hanich le Rabbi Meir, but el Rabban Michael Amemar, the Gemara says, yeah, but the remarrying, using a get kereach, and the subsequent children of that second marriage are going to be mamzerim, that's only according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Hopefully you remember, but even if you don't, okay, this is what's called chazara. So hopefully you remember, that's only according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir, but... The Chachamim don't agree, and according to the Chachamim, the child is not going to be a mamzer. So now, it's a non-ideal get, and it should belong in our Mishnah, according to the Chachamim. So Hasam Teitzei HaChalo Seitzei. So the Gemara says, once again, we're going to make a distinction. In the case of a get kereach, so if she uses it to remarry, she doesn't have to leave her second husband. Here in our three cases, if she uses it to remarry, she does have to leave her second husband. Again, the Gemara points out, not everyone agrees to that point. Hanich laman damar hacha lo seitze. El laman damar hacha teitze maikel amemar. So the Gemara says, okay. But again, that's a point of controversy. So again, if I take the position that just like by get kereach, our gittin over here in our Mishnah, our gittin, which if she uses them, she's going to have to leave her second husband. So then the case of get kereach does in fact belong in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, b'mekusha lo kamayri. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is only talking about conventional getin. The get mekushar is a non-conventional get. It's not your standard get. So our Mishnah over here is going over cases of standard getin. Okay. V'ha'ika shalomachos, the Gemara says, what about shalomachos? You remember? So we did a Mishnah back in Ayin Tes, right? That is 79, a week ago. So we did a Mishnah over there where you didn't date it correctly. In other words, you should be dating it based on the current government and the current king and whichever year he is ruling. So, and if you fail on that, so the get is no longer an ideal get. So, v'ha'ika shalamachos asam teitzei, ha'chalo seitzei. Again, different levels of non-ideal gets. That shalamachos non-ideal get, not only is it not ideal, but she uses it to remarry. We say to her, you're going to have to go back and to your first husband, because you're still married to your first husband, and get a valid get. So, but over here, lo teitzei, so ha'nich laman damar ha'chalo teitzei. Again, on our Mishnah, in the non-ideal get of our Mishnah, can she or can she not stay in her second marriage? That's a point of controversy. But over here, if our Mishnah, in our three cases of our Mishnah, if the halacha is in fact the case is Teitzei, so Michael Amemar. So now, the case of Shalom Achus should in fact belong in our Mishnah. So Mokim Lad Rabbi Meir, Hasam Vlad Manzer, Hacha Vlad Kasher. So the Gemara says, what we'll do is that we'll say the case of Shalom Achus is going like Rabbi Meir, where the subsequent children are going to be Mamzerim, but in our cases over here, the children are not going to be Mamzerim. Okay. Meaning, again, the basic point the Gemara is saying is that there are different levels of non-ideal gittin. In our Mishnah over here, even though the get is not ideal, and even though she shouldn't remarry using the get, and even if I subscribe to the position of Teitzeg, that she that their second husband should in fact release her, she should go back to her first husband and get a get from her first husband, but still, in our Mishnah, any children that she has as a result of that are not going to be a mamzerim. As opposed to the case of Shalom Achus, where if I subscribe to Reb Meir, the subsequent children from her second husband are in fact going to be mamzerim. Okay, so we just covered now. Our Mishnah gives us a list of three not lechatchila gittin. And how come our Mishnah is capped at the number three? How come the Mishnah doesn't introduce the cases of get yashan, get kereach, and shalom achos? How come we didn't how come the Mishnah didn't do that? And the Gemara just basically said because they're not on the same madrega as the cases of our Mishnah. So minyana deresha, we continue now in the Gemara. Minyana deresha lamute mai. You read the Mishnah carefully, and the Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Gittin, right? These are three Gittin. And then, after listing the three Gittin, what does the Mishnah say? Hare Elu, Shlosha Gittin. These three cases of get. So you could hear in the Mishnah, you could hear it clearly, right? Three and only three. So when the Mishnah says three and only three, obviously what we have to understand is that the Mishnah is saying, and not something else. So, what is the Mishnah does it not once but twice. And the Mishnah does not waste a single word. So why would it do it twice? That's the Gemara's question. So as far as the first time, it says these three and nothing else. So we already know how to answer that question. Meaning there are three other possible cases that you would have lumped together in our Mishnah that do not belong in the Mishnah because of the subtle differentiation between those cases and the cases in our Mishnah. Now, as far as the second time in the Mishnah where it says these three and only these three, so it's coming to exclude the following. We learned in the Braisa. I may be getting my Medina Siamna Unas Nalavalamra Befanechtav Yotze Vavlad Mamzer Div Rebbe Meir. So let's say you are currying the get. This is the first sugya that we covered in the beginning of the Masechta. You are currying the get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So you must say upon delivery, Befanechtav, Befanechtav, it was written and signed in front of me. And if, let's say, you fail to say that, according to Rabbi Meir, the get is an absolute disaster. If the get's no good, she goes and remarries based on this get, the children are going to be a mamzerim. The chachamim remain a vlad mamzer. Ketzad said, according to the chachamim, what do you do? So, yit lenu amen v'yachzav yinenel abifnei shtayim v'yomer b'fanenechtam. In other words, the problem is solvable. You just simply take back the get, the courier will take back the get, and he will administer the get, and he will say to her while handing it to her the second time, "Befanenechta, befanenechta." So, when the Mishnah says a failure of saying "Befanenechta, befanenechta," so according to Rabbi Meir, the children, the subsequent children of her next marriage are going to in fact be mamzerim, and that's what our Mishnah is doing at the end when saying these three and only these three, to exclude itself from the position of Rebbe Meir. Okay. Kasa b'ksa yadov ein alav edim. Okay. In the Mishnah, we went over the case where, this is case number one, ksav yado, a husband wrote it, no witnesses. Amarav ksav yado shaninu. Ahaya. So Rav says that what is our Mishnah describing over here? The Mishnah is describing where the husband wrote it. So ilay marei shabshita. So ksav yado ketani. Now, when Rav makes a comment on our Mishnah, so which of the three cases is he talking about? The first case, it's a little bit funny. The first case actually says ksav yado. I don't need Rav to clarify. You know, in the first case, the husband wrote it. Yeah, that's correct. In other words, that's what it says. So so pshita ksav yado ketani. Sorry. So the ela mitziasa so yeshal av edim. Well, it can't be on the second case in the Mishnah because in the second case in the Mishnah there are edim. On the second case of the Mishnah. Okay, so in other words, the failure, not the failure, but the what's not ideal about the second case of the Mishnah is that there's no dating on it. Ella Seifa Yeshbozman Vein Bo Elaid Achad. Ah, so it's going on the third case of the Mishnah. The third case of the Mishnah is where there's only one witness who signed on it. So Dafka Ksav Yado, as we now turn to the Amud Beis. So Dafka Ksav Yado V'Eid. Ava Ksav Sofer V'Eid Lo. So the only time that one witness would be okay is if you had the husband who was writing it. Meaning, I know we already heard this back in the Mishnah. We already heard this B'Shem Rashi. But in other words, obviously what Rashi was referring to was what we just learned together. According to Rav, the correct interpretation of case number 3 of our Mishnah is where the husband wrote it and there's one witness who signed on it. If a sofer wrote it and one witness signed on it, no good. Simply no good. Why? Because again, our Mishnah is subscribing to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Eidi chasim ikarti. I need two witnesses signing on it. But if I have the husband signing, if I have the husband writing up the get, his writing is ki'ilu. You have multiple eidim. Ushmol amar afilu ksav sofer ve'eid. Sharei shaninu ksav sofer ve'eid kasher. So, Shmuel will tell you, no, that's not the correct interpretation of our Mishnah. The correct interpretation of the Mishnah is that the sofer wrote the get in case number 3. In case number 3, so if the sofer wrote the get, so now, so how is it going to work? So the sofer wrote the get, and he also contributed a signature. He signed as well. So the Gemara says, Ksav sofer veid kasher virav, so mi dame hausam tinasa lechatchila. So hacha b'dievet. So Rav will tell you, no. In other words, I will not subscribe that our Mishnah is talking about where the sofer signed on it, because if the sofer signed on it, it's a perfectly good get, according to Rav. And Shmuel will tell you, no, it's not perfectly good. So Shmuel, lokasha, ha safra, de muvak ha safra de la muvak. Shmuel will tell you the following. Shmuel will tell you that it depends on what kind of sofer we're talking about, whether we're talking about a sofer that's muvak or a sofer that's not muvak. Okay. And let's explain this a little bit better. Meaning, what is the problem with the sofer signing? Meaning, the sofer is a fine and upstanding Jew, all right? In other words, not only that, he's literate. He knows how to write. So what would be the problem with the sofer signing on it? So this is something that we already explored earlier in the Masechta. Let's review again. In other words, when the sofer goes ahead and signs on the document, the possible problem will be is that that wasn't the husband's instructions. Meaning, what did the husband do? The husband gave clear instructions of who should be signing and who should be writing it. And now, assuming that I subscribe to the position of mile mimzere, meaning that, if you remember, this goes back a couple days, that's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, but if I subscribe to Rabbi Meir and mile mimzere, what the husband can do is give instructions of he should be writing it and these other two should be signing it. But when the shliach gets now to those three people, he's going to feel bad because the sofer is going to ask the question, oh, should I also sign it? And meanwhile, that wasn't the instructions of the husband, and v'chule v'chule. Good. So that is all going to be a concern if I subscribe to Rabbi Meir. However, if I subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, never going to be concerned. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you cannot play the game of telephone. According to Rabbi Yossi, the instructions husbands have to go directly to the principal people. In other words, the husband has to be talking to the sofer directly. The husband has to be talking to the husband directly. And these instructions cannot be forwarded. So therefore, according to Rav Yossi, this never becomes a problem. So now, if I in fact subscribe to Rabbi Meir, so now we have the game of telephone. And now what can happen is that, you know, the picture that I just painted. He gave instructions, the sofer should be writing it, but not signing it. The shlich feels bad, v'chule v'chule. So, according to Rabbi Meir, this will be a potential problem. Shmuel will tell you, yes, but it depends on what kind of sofer we're talking about. If we're talking about a sofer which is muvak, where he's very knowledgeable, he'll know that he was only instructed to write. In other words, he understands these halachas very well. He understands Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Mili Mimsere, Mili Lo Mimsere. He understands all this, meaning he's holding. And so therefore, he won't just simply elect himself to now be one of the signatures. He knows he wasn't commissioned. On the other hand, if it's a sofer Shana Muvak, if he's, you know, he knows how to write, but he's not holding in the sugya, so then we have to worry about this. Shmuel will tell you that if the sofer is Muvak, so then don't worry. He knows what he's doing. If the sofer is not muvuk, then he doesn't know what he's doing. So, what we have basically now is the third case of our Mishnah, where we have only one person signing, seemingly only one person signing. How did you understand the Mishnah? So, Shmuel will tell you that you do have a second signature. It's called the sofer. And Rav will tell you, no, if the sofer is signing on it, so then it's going to be perfectly fine. V'cheinam Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also says, just like Rav, Amrle Reb Elazar, Havi Yesh Olav Eidim, Amrle Asefam. So Reb Elazar said to Rav Yochanan, isn't it a case where you have Eidim? So he says, no, that's going on the Sefer, that's going on the last case of the Mishnah. Meaning, go back to what Rav said. So the Zimna Namarav, Tesev Zimna Namarav, Lo Tesev. So now what we have over here is our third case of our Mishnah as interpreted by Rav. According to Rav, what do I have? I have the husband writing it, and I have one witness who signed on it. Okay, and it's not ideal. According to Rav, the sofer wrote it. According to Rav, the husband wrote it. According to Shmuel, the sofer actually wrote it. Now, according to Rav, the reason why it's good is because when the husband writes it, it's ki'ilu, you have multiple witnesses. That's Rav's interpretation. Okay. Now, on Rav's interpretation, it's still a non-ideal get. Now, Zimna Nama Rav Teitzeh, Zimna Nama Rav Lo Teitzeh, Haketzah. Now, she gets remarried based on this non-ideal get. Sometimes Rav says that she's going to have to divorce her second husband. Sometimes he says, you're not going to have to divorce. And the Gemara says, it's not difficult. Haketzah, Yesh Labanim Lo Teitzeh, Ha'in Labanim Teitzeh. It depends on whether or not she has children from her second husband. If she has children upon her second husband, we're not going to require her to go ahead and divorce. Meaning they get, when all is said and done, right? If I distill the get, is the get good? Yes. May ikar adin, the get's good. And even though the chachamim were incredibly unhappy, there were only one witness who signed on it. And again, according to Rav, why is the get good? Because he, the husband, wrote the get. The writing of the get is tantamount to witnesses signing on it. And therefore, it's going to be good.
Wait. According to Rav, the third case is a hybrid of the first case, huh?
The third case is really highlighting the first case, according to Rav.
It's the first case plus a signature,
right?
Okay,
correct.
So, but the thing is that so if the first case in the first case, she it's acceptable that she doesn't have to leave the husband. Why is Rav insisting on the third case that she should?
So Rashi back in the Mishnah explained, because what the Mishnah wants to highlight is that in the first case, it's still kosher, meaning it's not ideal, but it's still kosher. The third case is telling me that it's still not ideal, even though now I've added. In other words, the husband wrote the get, and I have one witness.
But why is it not ideal?
Because you need to make it ideal, I have to have two witnesses.
But the thing is, if no witness was acceptable, one witness is not acceptable.
Right. So again, Rashi and the Mishnah said the reason why I have both cases, case number one is to tell me that it's still going to be kosher. Meaning when all is said and done, even with zero witnesses, it's still going to be kosher. And the third case is coming to tell me that with one witness, it's still not ideal.
But it's kosher.
Right, correct.
But Rav doesn't accept that.
No, that's according to Rav.
Shmuel accepts what Rav says.
Shmuel will tell you that, no, the third case you have to interpret differently. According to Shmuel, the third case is talking about where the sofer writing it and the sofer signed on it, together with another witness. Okay. All right, two totally different ways. Masav Marzu Shabar Tovia v'chulan shayibem safek kedushin and safek gerushin harei elochosus v'lo misyavmos. So now we go back to the first Mishnah Yavamos, where you have of one of the co-wives who was widowed, you have an erva, and if let's say she was not totally married to the man. Now, if she was totally married to the man, what do we know? That she does not have the mitzvah of Yibum. Not only does she not have the mitzvah of Yibum, none of the co-wives do. The co-wives are what's called a tzara of an erva. Okay, if all this is going over your head, forgiveness, because you didn't learn the Gemara in Yavamos. And if you did learn the Gemara in Yavamos, fine. And right now, it would take me way too long for me to go ahead and break down and give a proper introduction over here. But anyway, so ketzah, tzafek kiddushin, zarak la kiddushin, tzafek karavla, tzafek karavla. Give me a case of Safek Kedushin. So he threw the case of Kedushin, incredibly romantic. Here you go, and he throws that at her. And it's not clear whether it landed proximate to him or proximate to her. That is the case of Safek Kedushin. What is the case of Safek Gerushin? This is the part that we're interested in. So, Kasabik Savyadov Ein Alav Eidim. Husband wrote it, no witnesses signed on it. Yesh lav edim vein bo zman. Yesh bo zman vein bo ela edachad. Hare zeh safek gerushin. The three cases of our Mishnah are examples of safek gerushin. That's a funny example, safek gerushin. In other words, what do we know? In other words, we spent the whole morning talking about these cases in our Mishnah are non-ideal cases. And meanwhile, they're safek. The Iyamar lo teitzei. So the Gemara says now, if the woman uses this non-ideal get to go ahead and get remarried, and she has children, and from with the second husband, and the halach is lo teitzei, so now, sarasa asya liyavume. So the Gemara says, so now, all the co-wives are going to look at her and say, ooh, she really did get divorced. How do I know that? Because she went and remarried another man, and she had children with that other man, and now the halacha is that she doesn't have to leave that other man. Oh, so she really is a divorce, which means now that we're really not co-wives of that woman. Oh, if we're really not co-wives of that woman, that was the erva, meaning that was the one who patered us. And now she's clearly not part of the equation over here. So now all the co-wives, well, one of the co-wives should be saying, oh, I need to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Yevamos, the Brayta Yevamos says, no, they should be doing chalitza. So tizyab ben vein b'kafklum. The Gemara says, chshasha derabanani. The Gemara says, well, look, when all said and done, if they do Yibum under those circumstances, it's okay. Meaning, the only thing over here is a chshasha derabanan, meaning it's a non-ideal get. And achinam, if they do Yibum, that's fine. Okay, Levi amar lo'olam lo teitzei, v'chein amar Rav Yochanan lo'olam lo teitzei, v'chein amar lo Rav Yochanan b'nei chalafta de ben huna, hachi amar avucha on lo'olam lo teitzei. Okay, a number of Amarayim we disagree with Rav. Rav's of the position that she can use this non-ideal get to go ahead and remarry, and she will not have to leave her second husband, but only if they have children. A number of Amarayim that we just went through says, no, even without children, she doesn't have to go ahead and she doesn't have to divorce. And this is something that Rav Yochanan told over the children of Rabbi Chalafta. Let's just do a little bit more for this morning. Kartzis ba'amir eina posels b'mei chatas. This is an unbelievable non sequitur. But as long as we're here, in other words, other things that Rav Yochanan told over to the children of b'nei chalafta, and that is that if I have this bird called the kartzis, and the water of the Parah Aduma is out there in the field amongst the Amarim. So Eina Posels B'Mechatos is not going to post them. Meaning it's a non sequitur. So the Gemara says, "My Kartzis, Amar Abaye Di Dav Tam." So the Beni Keeping. So it's a type of grasshopper. That's the best I can do for you. So Meisav Rav Daniel Bar Ketina Kol Alfas Posim B'Mechatos. What do you mean? Birds are going to pass the Mechatos Chutz Min Yonah. With notable exception to the Yonah, Mimnei Motzetzes. So, in other words, what the Yonah does is when the Yonah drinks, so all the water that they drink goes into the mouth but does not come back out. Masha Enkin, with all other birds, it goes in and some of it comes back out again. So, V'imisa chutz miyonah v'kartzis. Now, we have a Mishnah that gives us only one exclusion of a bird that doesn't passel the mechatzis, that's the Yonah. Meanwhile, according to this tradition, the kartzis also should be included lo psikale. I'm sorry. So, I was right. So lo psikale. So gedola lo pasla, katana pasla. The ad kama ravirmiya vitem rabiami ad kezayis. It depends on the size of the grasshopper. Big grasshoppers are in fact not going to pasla. Small grasshoppers are going to pasla. Okay. Anyway, that was really a non sequitur. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up on. Finally, as we're approaching the end of the Masechta, who do we pass them like? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Eide Chassim Ekarti, or Eide Mesir Ekarti. That's coming up tomorrow. Meanwhile, today's daf. So what did we just get done? An incredibly difficult daf. It's not incredibly, but it is difficult daf. The three non-ideal cases of the Mishnah, where the get is going to be possible. Possible means it's not ideal. It's not lechatchila. And an analysis of... That's fine. An analysis of those three cases of the Mishnah in terms of why exactly they're not ideal. Analysis of the Mishnah, the first case is going like Rabbi Meir. The Tanakhama is Rabbi Meir. The Sefer is Rabbi Lazar. And how to understand, according to Rabbi Meir, why all those cases are only Pasul B'di Evet. Sorry, only Pasul L'Chatchila, but not Pasul B'di Evet.